Okay, so let's start. So this is advertised as an energy retreat, and the idea was, you know, we travel constantly. We just got back from, with John's help, we got, and Carol's help, we got back from Kiev a couple days ago, and Bulgaria, and then before that, some foreign country called Michigan, and before that, Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, Paris, and it was kind of a long trip. You know, lots of people come up to me. I see people during the breaks, like we give programs, and then during the intermissions, I encourage people to come ask me questions. So I meet thousands of people from all over the world in any given year, and I listen to their needs. And a lot of them ask me about energy. They say, I don't have energy. Like, I feel tired all the time, or I can't get things done. It seems to fall into those two kinds of categories. One is they don't feel like they have energy, and they feel tired. And then the other category, which is similar, is they feel like they can't finish anything. Like, they start projects, and they're not able to finish them. Those two things. So, you know, maybe it's 25% in the whole world, like anywhere, Asia, South America, Europe, Eastern Europe, North America, they all have the same thing. They say, I don't have energy. And on an apparent level, it can be traced to eating poorly or eating too much, or not resting properly, or not exercising properly, or the accumulation of toxins in the body. So those are all manifestations of deeper causes, right? And the deeper causes are karma. And so what I thought during this retreat was we would work on both the apparent causes and the karma. Of not having enough energy. And then there's just a natural loss of energy as you get older. And so I thought we could work on those three things. One is people have sort of a, not due to aging, but there's some physical problem or mental problem, and then they feel tired all the time. Or they don't feel excited or what do you call it? Happy. My mom's name was Elizabeth, but everybody called her Bunky, and since she was a little child, and it meant like perky. She was Bunky, and so sometimes we don't feel Bunky, you know, and then sometimes we feel like we can't get things done, and then with some people it's just age, you know, like you're getting older, and you're slowing down, and. So I thought in this retreat we could talk about that. We could work on the apparent causes, you know? So we'll have programs on about how to eat better. And you can try. You can actually try some new foods optionally, okay? And Anatole's going to teach us how to eat better. And sort of experimental foods in a way that I believe that the food that my parents taught me to eat, now at my, you know, having been through a long life, I realized that a lot of the food that they taught me to eat is not good for you at all. And it would steal your energy and make you dull and hurt other people, creatures, you know. And basically all the food I was taught to eat when I was young is somehow there's a problem with it. But foods are very hard to change, you know. You can almost tell where a person's ancestry is by seeing what they enjoy to eat. You can say, oh, you're from German stock. Like, I'm some German stock, right? So we like milk and potatoes and wheat, and, you know. And then that doesn't change. You keep eating the same foods that your ancestors ate normally. And it takes a big effort to break out of that and eat something that's just purely on the basis that it's logical to eat it because it's good for you. You see what I mean? It takes a lot of strength to break out of your ancestral eating habits. Like, that came from dinosaur days when they were killing dinosaurs and eating them. And it takes a big effort to break out of it. So Anatole's going to help us with that. And then as far as flushing toxins out of your body, Mercedes has been working on that in the last year a lot and trying different things. And I thought we could try, these are all optional, okay? If you want to try a flush of your kidney, right? We were going to do a liver flush, which is more complicated, but there aren't enough toilets here. And it would cause some problems of urgent fights over toilet bowls. And so we're going to do something a little softer. But she'll teach you how to do a more deep flush when you get home, okay? And Ningbo and I have watched her on the tours, you know, traveling, try to do these flushes, and with very interesting results, like big jars of rocks coming out. And everyone I know who has done the flush has this strange, I don't know, what do you call it? They have this strange desire to keep their stones and show them to everybody. like David and Sharon from Jivamukti, they keep it in their fridge, in their freezer, and they show it to everyone who comes to their house. And it's a big jar of stones that came out of their body. So eventually these would make you sick, and they would steal your energy. I heard that His Holiness had a gallbladder removed recently, and he said he felt much more energy. And he taught for 10 days straight in Washington, D.C. recently, for the first time in a long time. And he said he just got his everything. I mean, probably we don't want to wait until you have to take out your whole gallbladder. You could just flush it before that, you know. And then Andriana's going to teach us. There's a whole thing that you can improve your energy just by sitting correctly, and light bandhas, and proper posture, and walking correctly, and standing correctly, and moving correctly. And she's going to have a special, I call those optional energy breaks. They will have special programs, and then you can come or you can not come. If you don't want to come, you can just go for a walk or do whatever you like, you know. So you can still sign up for all those. Beth Mulhausen, where is she? She's the CEO. What are you? I don't know. She's the CEO of the DC Diamond Cutter Institute. She worked for Hilton Hotels before that. She was an executive, and for ABC. And that's why I stole her for DCI. And she's really good at time management. She has three kids, if you count her husband. She's just really good at it. So then she's going to help us with sort of like project, what do you call it? Management of your time. So there'll be a special program that she's going to lead about managing your time. She's just a very successful, she's a CEO of a major company. She has two children. Her husband runs some radio stations for Clear Channel. And they're busy. And then they still do a lot of Dharma work. She's very active in the church also. And so it's not just one religion, but two religions she's running along with the kids. And I just thought that of all the people I know, she's handling intense personal time pressure gracefully and successfully. So I thought it would be nice to have her help us with that. So those are like four different things. And then the yoga teachers have been asked to give us series, yoga series, which stimulate your energy, okay? Then all of them don't matter, they don't work. They're like aspirin. They don't have any power to do anything unless you plant the seeds, right? So if you plant the proper seeds, then the juice fast is going to help you, and the yoga is going to help you, and the time management will work, and the food that you learn to eat will all work. But by themselves, none of them has any power at all. They don't do anything. And you, most of you have learned that. The evidence is that not everybody who drinks that juice has any energy. Some people just push them to sleep. You know? Like, I drink coffee and it puts me to sleep, okay? And it's not the thing. The thing doesn't have any power in it. That's what emptiness means, right? There's nothing in the juice, or there's nothing in the kidney flush, or there's nothing in the that can help you. I know lots of people who slouch who have lots of good energy, you know, and very creative slouchers. So it's none of the above, right? If you create the seeds, the proper seeds, then all of these things will work for you. And if you don't create the seeds, then you might get sick from the liver flush. You see what I mean? So in this retreat, we're going to teach the techniques of taking care of your body and giving you more energy and having more energy. But then we're also going to spend a lot of time on creating the seeds that make it work for you. You see what I mean? So I encourage you to think like that, okay? Like the meditations that we'll do and the teachings that we'll go through will help you. They will instruct you how to plant the proper seeds to have energy. And then if you do the yoga and you take the flush and you do the, you eat the kale or whatever gross thing, it'll give you energy, okay? And if you don't learn the meditations and you don't create the karma, then they won't do anything, okay? And you won't do them, and they won't work. So I thought, I would like you to concentrate on two main kinds of karma. To have energy. What is self-evident? I mean, for anyone who has studied more than 10 minutes, which is that we should be wishing energy on others, right? Like, we should be working to provide energy to others, right? So all the yoga teachers here, all the people doing the energy breaks, all the people who organize the retreat, they are already creating karmic seeds for their own energy by creating an energy retreat for us. You see what I mean? So we'll be doing a lot of meditations. They're like Tonglen meditations based on energy. And you'll be sending energy to someone you know who doesn't have energy. So we'll spend a lot of time on that. But there's another way to get energy, which is almost a tantric approach. Which is your lama, right? To ask your lama for energy, right? So, especially in Tantra, it wouldn't be just to collect the karmic seeds for energy, wouldn't be only providing energy to others. It would also be properly and wisely requesting your own heart lama, whoever that is. So everybody here has their own heart lama, hopefully. If you don't have, then imagine one, all right? Like the best one you can imagine. And then one of the best ways to create seeds for energy would be to ask your teacher. It's in the Yoga Sutra, what do they say? First chapter. It ends in va. Ishvara Panidana Vas. There's this whole chapter about what to do. And then he says, or you can just ask your teacher. You know? So it's like 210 verses. 209 of them are do all this stuff. And then he says, Ishvara Panidana Vas. Or you could just ask your teacher. You know? So there tonight, we're going straight to the most effective way to get energy, which is Ishvara Panidhanava, ask your teacher for energy. Okay? And then so during this prayer, in which we are making offerings to our heart lama, so you picture your own heart lama, whoever it is. If you do not have a heart lama, picture an idealized heart lama, okay? Or it could be Jesus, or it could be whoever, okay? Everyone's different. And then during this ritual, we'll start the process of getting more energy, of creating karmic seeds for more energy by asking for energy from our heart number. And then during this ritual, as we're bribing them, we are like offering chips and coconut cookies and tangerines, like the real, what do you call it, irresistible things. And then we are offering all these things to the lamas, and then to your heart teacher. And then as we offer it, like in your mind, see them in your mind. And then offer them all this cool stuff. And then see the energy pouring out of them into your heart. Okay, that's all. Tonight the exercise is that. You can plant seeds for more energy simply by asking. And the more, delusional it is, the better. Like if you think there's just sitting outside the window there, about to pop their head up, because you asked them to come from Ukraine or wherever they are. And you, the more you believe in them, then the more energy seeds you will get. Okay, and then the whole week will change your life. And if you don't create the seeds, then the whole week will just change your bowel movements. Okay, all right. So. It's your job to plant seeds. I can't do it for you. I can talk. I like to talk. But it's you. So in this next hour and a half, don't waste your time. Don't space out. I know you're tired. You flew in from Hong Kong or whatever. Maybe you're on a little surge right now. Maybe halfway through it'll hit you. But just hang in there and don't waste the time. People are notorious for wasting time during rituals. They think about anything else but the ritual. You know, I can do the whole Vajrayogini Sandha without thinking about it once. I did it on the bus for 15 years without thinking about it. It's amazing. You don't have to focus so much on the words. Like the main thing is focus on your heart teacher and ask them for energy, for more energy, to do good things to help people. Right? I want more energy. I want to get up in the morning bursting with energy, and I want to be able to do all the cool things I want to do. And I don't want to sit there and I'm tired. And I don't want to sit there and I can't get, like, I have a big project to do, like Rob Haggerty has to build a Spanish mission on 10 acres in Glendale. And you just think, okay, give me the energy. Ask your lama to give you the energy. Because you need some source. You can't do it on your own. So ask for energy. Okay? Tonight. Don't waste your time doing this ritual. Don't just hope for the... We're going to give you the food. Don't worry about it. So you don't have to think about it. And just ask for energy and see energy flowing into you. And these are the seeds. And then the whole week, all the stuff we do will work. Okay? Normally, you don't recite the stuff in the italics, but I think it's fun. Because there are some instructions in there, here and there. And there's some nice quotations. So I figure we'll just kind of be dumb and read the instructions out loud together. So we're going to do this together. Probably at some point I'll try to stop you and we'll eat stuff. Alright? By the way, there are tantric... This is a special ritual. You are allowed to have tantric substances even if you don't have an impairment. Only this ritual in Tibet, you're allowed to have tantric substances during the ritual. The very first day I met my first Tibetan Lama, they did the Lama Chupa. I got off the bus in Dharamsala and I walked into a Lama Chupa. And I had no idea what was going on. But it's open to everybody, and then you take some small tantric substances. One of them is meat. And the idea of taking the meat is to... Meat is a... The production of meat, the making of meat, is one of the greatest... What do you call it? Shames of our society. Maybe the greatest. It is the greatest, what do you call it? what's a shame? It's like something we shouldn't be ashamed of, that it exists, that the custom of killing another race of beings even exists. We are like, we are savages. In that sense, we are savages. We don't need to eat meat. There's no need to. We have taken the most pleasant, gentle animals and bred the gentleness into them so that we can kill them for their flesh, you know, which is pretty much the same as eating your mother's fingers or something like that. I mean, it's one step removed from murdering your own mother and eating her flesh. You see? I mean, in later days, people will see that. And right now, it's just a huge source of misery for tens of thousands of creatures every day. So that's substances are stained with that violence, you know, and you can't eat it without we take a little bit of it to remember our shame, like that, okay, that we are ashamed that that's still going on. So that's the purpose of it, okay. So think about it. We take it in anticipation of the day when you cannot buy it legally. And it will come. The day will come. So in the meantime, like, we're just sort of trying to apologize for that. Okay? And then the wine is... alcohol is a useless... is one of the most useless things in the world. It has harmed hundreds of millions of people. Both my parents were killed by alcohol. It's useless... expensive. It wastes a lot of the grain production of the world. It just kills people. It hurts people. So it's the same thing. We take it in anticipation of the day when there's no demand for it and people stop making it. Okay? So those are the meaning of the substances for this ritual. Okay, you ready? We'll just go through. At some point I'll go, whoa, 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 we have to stop and take the substances. It's a custom to take the substances with your wedding finger of your left hand and take them like that. And then you bite half of it and you leave half of it and you hold it in your right hand. And then somebody will come around with a bowl and you throw the leftovers into the bowl. So you'll get a cookie, you'll get a piece of meat, and you'll get the wine. You just touch your wedding finger into it. And you just touch some on your tongue, okay? And then at the end, we take all of the extra pieces. So when you get a cookie, you break it in half, and you eat half of it. You take it with your wedding finger. You break it in half, you eat half, and then you save half. And then they'll come around with a bowl, and we'll throw it into the bowl, and then that is offered to the spirits of this place. So last year, they were a little intractable, and we softened them up, but it's the hard... We like the mattress demons who stopped the truck from El Paso 8 hours into the trip and turned it back to El Paso with your mattresses. But we'll talk about that later. After we paid $10,000. Anyway. So we put the bowl out to stop the mattress demons and other similar spirits. Okay? Right. Okay, you ready? One, two, three. Hearing is found the right for the offering to lamas. In the language of India, this work is called the Guru Puja Kalpana Lama. In Tibetan, it's called the Lama Chibra Chokra. And in English, it is called the rite for the offering to lamas. I bow down to my feet, lamas, matchless in their kindness, and I come to them for shelter. Out of your great love, take me into your care, in every moment, and wherever I may be. I bow with devotion to the lotus feet of the one who holds the diamond, a wishful kind of gem, who grants the highest of all my many dreams. If I surrender myself to you, then I know I
seen among the ten, the ecstasy of the three holy forms, and all the goals that they share. This is the highest means of all for disciples of good fortune, to reach all that is good, to reach all happiness, nothing can compare to it. This is a string of lovely blooms that I carry to you from the Mother's Garden of the Open and Secret Teachings, and the highest of devices come down this jewel of necklace. There is but one thing which is the very foundation of all the wondrous things that have ever come to those who seek for freedom. It is the very source from which each and every good thing springs forth. It is the very root of infinite attainments, both those which are supreme and those which are held in common. It is the instruction which is behind every crucial point, found in all spiritual devices, put into practice by deep practitioners who are welcome in power. It is the teaching upon how to take oneself in the proper way to the spiritual friend who shows to us the perfect way. For all these souls rely upon them. As the Buddha once puts it, the single door which includes within it all of the devices of the spirit is never giving out a spiritual friend. This is the mind of riches that produces a very fine quality, faith, the wish for Buddhahood, and all the rest of life. The all-knowing Lord has said as well, see that the very root, setting in motion the forces that will bring to you every good thing in this life and those beyond it, is to take yourself and cooperate with the supreme spiritual guide, striving to serve them in both your thoughts and actions too. Never give them up then, even if it should cost you your life. Please them with the offering of carrying out their every instruction. This is what I, in my deep practice, have carried out myself. Those of you who hope for freedom should seek to do the same. He also spoke that the very root for every fine quality and every good and virtuous thing in the world and beyond it too is your Lord Lama, the one who showers you with their kindness. The 50 verses on Lama says as well, grasp the fact that the keeper of the diamond himself has said that every attainment flows from your spiritual master. Please then completely and everything he possesses. The Buddha text of the Jewel of Virtues puts it this way. Those who are true disciples, who show honor to their lamas, surrender themselves forever to lamas who are masters. Why is it that they do so? Because it's from the likes of these that they win the qualities possessed by the master themselves. And it's from teachers like these that they learn the perfection of wisdom. The victorious Buddhas themselves, who possess all the highest of virtues, have stated that all the qualities of the divine being depend upon your spiritual friend. You can say again that, as an object of the moon, collect good karma and clean away obstacles. Our divine master is superior even to all the Buddhas there are. As the source of Laos puts it, they are the conquering Buddha who has appeared all on their own. They are the one and only God of all gods. And our divine master is superior even to all of these, for they are the ones who grants us spiritual blessings.
It is for this reason that when undertaking a deep practice of the Lama, a version of this practice which includes all of the crucial points of the path, is the highest way of getting the very essence out of the leisure and opportunity of the Lama's inside. As such, we should do this practice as follows. Begin by putting your mind into an exceptional state of virtue. Before you do anything else, meditate upon taking shelter and the wish for enlightenment and the four infinite thoughts. Start off then with a deep practice where you see yourself as a god among gods. So just imagine that light's coming out of your heart, and that you are making this world pure, and all the worlds around all the stars you can see. Even Kiev. And ask your teacher, your heart teacher, your own heart teacher, for the energy to make all worlds pure. Ask them for that level of energy. Okay, let's go.
1, 2, 3.
Now bless the inner offering and the substances of offerings to the organs of any of the traditional rituals of the Ancestors through the secret traditions. Some of these rituals we first repeat 3 times, so he takes the syllables Om, Ah, and Om. With this, the offerings become, in their essence, wisdom itself.
Just in jeans and whatever, okay? All right, here we go. If you feel it fits better at the moment, you can instead recite the following lines after the essence of all Buddhas. My Lama is in the form here of the Lord of the secret world, the King, the Keeper of the Diamond, sapphire color, with one face and two arms. In his hands he holds a diamond bell, and embraces the queen of the empty realm, enjoying his play in simultaneous bliss and glory. He wears jewel ornaments of 100 different fashions, and he is clothed in silken raiment worn by the gods themselves. Whichever of the two you decide to use, continue with the following. His body is adorned with the marks and signs of enlightened being,
and he sits in the midst of a thousand shining rainbow rays in all five hues. His legs are crossed in the lotus posture, and the five parts of his being are totally pure. The five Buddhas who have gone to bliss. The four elements of his body are the four holy women. His doors of sense, and his tendons and joints and ligaments are actual bodhisattvas. The pores of his skin are the 21,000 destroyers of the enemy, and his limbs no less than the Lord of the angels' ears. The rays of light are the protectors of the directions, spirits of harm, secret, the worldly provide his platform. Surrounding him are rows of my direct and lineage lamas, and masses of close angels, the angels of the secret world. He sits circled by a sea of bliss and bodhisattvas, warriors and their angels, and the protectors of the word, all marked by the triple diamond of the three doors of expression. And then from the letters hung five rays of light in shape of hosts, beckoning beings of wisdom from the land of reality, drawing them into wealth invisibly, turning them perfectly firm. Come, Mother Root and Lineage Lamas, from the past and present and future, true source of perfect happiness and goodness, together with the company of close angels and the three supreme, warriors and their angels, protectors and guardians of the realm. Come unto us here, stay firm with us here, drawn by the power of your compassion.
In this way,
comes now masquerading in the world of the world of Solomon. You have a great teachers, in every corner of the universe, as this stream and triple gem, to every being there is being liberated.
Prostrating
ourselves thus to them, we expect expressing our actions in words and thoughts. The next step is to present them with offerings. Make your presentation then as follows. Be sure to stamp the practice with your realization that the giver of the gift and the one receiving the gift are a single expression of the indivisible bliss and worthiness. We are not all in session.
Here is an ocean
of gifts, a vast cloud of every fine thing there is, which I present now to my Savior and Protector, my Holy Lama, and to those within their circle. Here is all our veins of sparkling jewels, arranged in perfect symmetry, and from it softly falls the nectar of the four waters of deathlessness to make the world pure. Earth and sky are suddenly filled with lovely blooms sprouting on stems, some scattered, some strung, patchwork colors. The highway of the gods is cloaked in sapphire summer puffs. Light as clouds of fragrant incense smoke. Masses of lamps in a million worlds, suns and moons burning jewels, they wipe away the darkness there with laughing, playful rays of light. Rays pass back and forth across a massive sea of perfume water, giving off the delightful scent and the anchors settled with the saffron. Here next is a mountain peak. The most delectable dishes and drink, a prize and men, bursting with a thousand different flavors. The entire surface of the earth, and all below it and above, overflow with the beautiful melodies of the million kinds of music. And cover every corner of this universe with goddesses of both inner and outer offerings and senses, the very best of things to see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. I cover our 100 billion worlds, each possessed of four continents and a substantial mountain. It's the seven most precious objects, the seven almost as precious as my life. The most perfect worlds, the most perfect beings within these worlds. Treasure troves of all the pleasures of gods and men. Everything anyone would wish for. I offer the thoughts of faith to that highest and most excellent karmic object, to that massive storehouse of compassion, to my Savior and Protector. And here I represent, both in my imagination and also in my hands, the shining flowers of the goodness done in acts and words and thoughts by both myself and others, offerings of the blooms that grow at the edge of the sea of wishes, gifts of the wise deeds of both the world and the deities. A thousand petals spreading forth to steal the heart of every being. The goodness of this world, the goodness beyond this world. I send out then 100,000 clouds among the bottomless offerings of scent, a garden filled with the finest fruits of the three extraordinary trains, the two stages, and each of the five paths. These I present to please my Lord, my Holy Lama. I offer the finest tea from China, tea with a saffron hue, cleaning off the delightful fragrance and laden with a thousand flavors. I offer as well an endless ocean, a nectar of deathlessness, burning and pure and realized, made of different substances, like the five hooks and the five cups. I offer to you this holy mace, exquisite, beautiful ladies of illusion, a crowd of messengers born, holy faces, the secret word, the simultaneous, lovely, slender women, glowing with beautiful strength, the masters in the 64 arts of pleasure. I offer to you the highest form of the mind, the ultimate wish for enlightenment, great wisdom of simultaneous bliss, free of every obstacle, the sphere of every single thing, free of any projection of truth, the indivisible, the spontaneous, that which is beyond all laws to imagine, all words to describe.
so relaxed. If you have something to drink, drink, okay? Because it's dry here. If you don't have something to drink, grab some off somebody.
Do you have, like, water bottles? And then just pass her a cup of water.
Drink a lot, because it's very dry here. And then also we'll do the second half faster, because you'll have to go to the bathroom. You can picture your lama in your heart, and when you take the substances, you are sending them, they like intercept them on the way to your stomach. he's accustomed to, they're going to take out now the offerings to the local spirits, mattress dealers, is that it? So he's accustomed to like make a little noise to attract that. Forget to try to concentrate on your heart moment and ask them for energy. Okay? Ask them for help. 1, 2, 3. With the lines of love, you have made the offering in your offerings, as well as the secret offerings and the offering of suchness, along with the presentation of the elixir and our own selves as our own servant. As you do make each of these offerings, remember to accompany them with the corresponding visualizations described above. You now perform the remaining steps of the practice, the steps of confession and rest, as a natural continuation of those which have gone before, in the following way. I stand before an arm of brotherly compassion, and confess whatever negative deeds I have done, for a time with no beginning, as well as those I encouraged in others, for even as I have done. With feelings of deep regret, I admit them, and I swear as well that I will avoid keeping them in the future. Nothing in the universe possesses the slightest sign of anything that is natural to itself. Nonetheless, those moral people, and those who have experienced emptiness directly, all of you perform pure deeds of light, which then may experience as pleasure and happiness, if only in a way which resembles a dream. The purest thoughts then you rejoice in all good that any of these beings has ever been able to accomplish. Therefore, we pray you be wearing a dark garment of deep and wide, from your heart covered in a hundred clouds, from your perfect knowledge and love. Let it fall upon the garden of pure water lilies, health and happiness for infinite living beings, bringing the blooms to open, stay, and thrive. The diamond body knows no birth or death, yet still we beg you to always stay with us, never passing into final nirvana, for as long as existence itself remains. Stay this long, as we hope you do. All of us who are waiting vessels for the King of Kings to be combined. I take the mass of pure white karma that I have created with this practice and dedicate it that I may be taken in all my lives to come into the care of my Holy Lama, the one who has granted me all three forms of kindness. I dedicate these deeds that I might never again be parted from them, and that I might state of the combination of the two, of the Lord, of the Holder of the Diamond. Practice thus the seven steps, and at the point where you offer your confession, you can, in time and midst, confess transgressions of any of the individual vows found in the three sets of commitments. Recite the prayer of the Lama, the Keeper of the Diamond, and go through the confessions of the downfalls of the Bodhisattva, or other similar practices. Bring to mind, yes, the following lines from the secret
consider any of the faults which you imagine that you see, by considering their qualities which you reach your attainments, by imagining their faults you deny yourself attainments. As this love has been meant to express, we must maintain a constant state of awareness, assuring that our mind never falls into imagining that our mama possesses any kind of fault. We spend our time, rather, undertaking a careful contemplation of the benefits of taking ourselves to a teacher and the problems of not doing so, as these have been described in the High Open Secret Teachings. More especially, the simple act of hearing our heart teacher's name spoken out loud is enough to rid away from us any need to fear or hurt one of the realms of misery. Just thinking of them is enough to dispel the sufferings of the cycle of pain, and if we only beg them to do so, they can grant us all our spiritual goals for further peace. See your heart teacher then as they really are, the single embodiment of all three individuals, a place of refuge which can never fail us.
So, if you know the Mingtsema mantra, you can do it here. We'll just do it for a few minutes. Okay? Mingtsema intention. Okay? Just to yourself. If you don't know that mantra, you can just say your teacher's name.
Savior, of the Buddhas. I make this supplication to my compassionate shelter and savior, to the one who has been praised as the highest garden where I can plant the goodness of my virtue. For it is said that the honor of a single pore of your body is a higher good than paying respect to every single victorious Buddha of each of the three times. And in every corner of the universe. The assemblies of angels who wear as jewels the three bodies of the ones who come on this. As soon as the seductive dance, they send forth an illusion born of their skillful means. And then suddenly you are here, guiding all the creatures of this world in the guise of a normal human being. And so I made my supplication to my compassionate shelter and savior. I make my supplication to my one supreme, all the three supreme, wrapped in a single person, the very parts of your being, your heaps, your categories, and the gateways of your senses, along with all your limbs, are actually made of the Buddhas, of all five families, kings and queens, as well as all the bodhisattvas, supplication to my Savior, the first Savior of them all, Savior of the union of the two, King of all those who are holders of the diamond, Lord of the 100 families, the Lord of the secrets, single being inside of whom reside the billion masses of the angels of the new worlds, born of the cosmic play of wisdom of omniscience. To you I make my supplication.
Save me from the terror of the Lord peace. Grant me all attainments. Stay forever at my
side, protect me from every obstacle.
Start again. I repeat the words three times. Because of the power of my prayer,
rays of light burst forth from the basis of my Lama's holy form, which relate to their sacred deeds, their sacred words, the sacred thoughts. The light comes forth through the nectar of breathlessness and sinks into my body, into the same three places on me.
Joy and happiness of others, recognizing
myself and others are in no way different. None of us wants even the slightest form of suffering. None of us ever feels as if we have enough happiness. Let me see that this chronic disease, taking care of myself, is the root of all misery this very act seeks to avoid. Let me to put the blame where it really is, and reach for the very nature of it. Let me to destroy my terrible inner tendency to watch out only for myself. Let me to see that cherishing all these mother beings, and which to see in all of each every form of happiness, is the door that leads to infinite numbers for perfect personal qualities. Let me then to love them all, more than our own life, even if every one of them should suddenly think me their enemy. Let me then to reach the ability to see myself and others equal, and to exchange them for myself, in a state of mind to sum it all up, where I finally grasp the difference. The problems that come from acting as infants do, thinking only of themselves, and the good that comes from acting as the Lord has been able to, thinking only of what others need. Cherishing myself is the door to every trouble that there is. Cherishing my mothers is the foundation of every quality that I can have. Resting then as this key practice changing others for myself might become the very heart of my daily path. And so bless me, my holy Lama. Bless me, Lama of compassion, that every living being there is may find every kind of happiness. Let all the evil deeds and obstacles, let all the pain that ever comes to every living being, every one of them, my mother, come and rest. steps, the teachings of the secret way. Bless me that I come to cherish, even more than my life, the secret pledges and vows, the root of every attainment. Bless me to reach the point where I am able to master the new practice of the first of the two stages, where I can transform birth and death in between into the Buddha's three holy bodies, where I am able to clean myself of every stench of the tendency to see the things around me as something normal, where every single thing in the world around me strikes me as just another piece of my angel's holy body. Let me to attain this very life the path of the union of the two, and a clear light joined with the body of illusion, which shall come to me when you, my Savior, set your lotus feet at the center of the channel of the entity. Inside that place, the eight petals of the heart are beating together. Bless me in brief, my Savior, that in all my lives to come, you might take me after you. Never let us depart. Let me even have one daughter, one son, who stays within your heart, the one who upholds every secret of your holy deeds and words and thoughts. Wherever it is, my Savior, that you might decide to manifest yourself to become your mind, I ask that you allow me to be there in your very account of all others around me. May I be enjoyed by seeing each and every dream I have, each and everything I need, both here and now and ultimately, come true without the slightest effort, simply on its own. Because of this, my supplication, my long supreme joy extends to the tip of my head, in order to grant these blessings. I beg you now to return and keep those holy feet shining light, planted here.
That's good. That's good. So we'll do a short meditation. And see lotus petals in your heart. And ask your Lama for energy in general, just for to become bunky and have always a lot of energy. And then ask them for the power to complete the things which you start, the projects and the goals that you have in your mind. And ask them to stay in your heart and give you this energy. Then that will be the end of this ritual.
Sangha Shen Sangha Shen.
Thanks, that's nice. It's a nice ritual. We'll do another one at the end. Because it's all, everything we need comes from our teacher. So if you find your teacher, or more properly, create your teacher, right? And then just ask them. And then you always have energy to kind of do the great things you want to do in your life. But you need a heart teacher. Okay, I think Rebecca might have a few announcements. Just a few.